thank you, Father. Father God, we do thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here and each and every person that's watching us online. We thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for them. And we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and purpose. Father God, we thank you today as we go to study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void, but that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And Father, we just thank you right now to help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. We thank you, Father, to help us to take that word to a lost and a dying generation. We thank you, Father, to take it to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus to a lost and dying world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this generation, revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we thank you today. We come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. And we thank you as we go to minister this morning that they won't see me ministering, but they'll see you ministering through me. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you for the anointing that's present this morning. This anointing that changes us, that anointing that moves us, that anointing that leads us and guides us and shows us the way, that anointing that heals us, that anointing that sets us free. We thank you, Father, that anointing is saturating us today. We thank you, Father, that anointing is changing us today. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that you're just changing their life. And Father God, we thank you for mom and dad as they're there and relaxing and getting back to full strength. We thank you, Father, for just being with them. And Father God, we thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Well, I don't know how everybody else does it, but the way I do things, which I'm different anyway, but is that, you know, when I'm going to speak, I never can get my next sermon until after I finished my last one. So Tuesday night I had Synergy. We preached there. So on Wednesday I began to pray about and think about and meditate on what I was going to minister this morning. And the Lord just laid it on my heart to minister healing this morning and have a healing service. And interesting part after that, then I began to look on social media, and the amount of friends that I have that are sick right now is like incredible. I mean, the people are getting the flu, people are having fevers and all kinds of stuff, and you know, I think it's appropriate to have a healing service, amen? So this morning, we're going to have a healing service. We're going to minister to the sick. We're going to pray for the prayer cloths at the end. That's why we didn't do it earlier, you know? But the main thing is not just to come to healing service, it's to get healed. But something else, you know, if you're not sick, is to be built up in your faith. So that way, when the devil does come, because he will come, the Bible says he does. He says he comes seeking who he may devour. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will come and try to put symptoms on you. Now, my grandfather was very clear many times. He talked about the last headache he had was August 1933. It's too late to start having headaches now. No, and he's passed on, so hadn't had headaches, you know, in a long time. But then he would always say this, but I've passed up many marvelous opportunities to have a headache. And if you ask him, well, Papa, what's a marvelous opportunity? He said, well, there were times that my head started hurting. I started having symptoms of a headache. But what I did was I took authority over that. See, knowing what to do whenever you start having symptoms is very important. Too many of us, we don't know what to do. Well, maybe go and, you know, take ibuprofen. Or, you know what usually, let me back that up. Usually what most people do is they complain. The first thing most people do is when symptoms hit them is they start complaining. Or they start saying, well, I guess I'm getting the flu again. Or I'm getting the flu, everybody else is having the flu, I might as well have it too. I mean, not that they really mean that, but that's how they act. Actions speak louder than words a lot of times. You know, But I want to read from Mark chapter 5, which was one of my grandfather's favorite scriptures to read on when it comes to healing. I've heard, I don't know how many messages, faith messages on the scripture. And remember that faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. Too many times we don't hear it enough. Now, many people would ask my grandfather, well, when are you going to quit speaking on faith? He said, when you get it. And, he spoke on faith more than any other subject that he spoke on. If you go to our books, we've had more faith books than any other subject that we have. Also, if you go to Wikipedia, they call him the father of the modern-day faith movement. You know, because you can have what you say. And Mark chapter 5 is one of the scriptures he used and one of the stories he used. And speaking of this, I mean, let's think about this. You know, we just had that great testimony of how a woman, you know, she was healed and no longer had to use her hearing aids. And some of us, you know, we kind of clap, that's good, yeah. Well, some of you understand what it really went on, you know, because some of you might have parents or grandparents that have to wear hearing aids and they can't hear without them. Some of you might have parents or grandparents that need hearing aids but don't have them. You know, but think about this. Think about having to go and not being able to hear without a hearing aid, but then suddenly, boom, being able to hear without a hearing aid. I mean, that's awesome. And so sometimes, you know, we hear healings and we hear about miracles and we don't even, I mean, we don't even give it the time of day sometimes. Now, I don't know, maybe you expect it all the time or whatever, but, you know, sometimes we ought to think, what if we were that person? What would we feel like? And that's what we need to understand. And that's what I try to do whenever we read the Bible stories, is understand, what if you were that person? What are they thinking? How are they acting? And I want to go ahead and just read this, and then we'll go back and look at it. Mark chapter 5, verse 25, reading from the New King James Version. It says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and it had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now, we need to understand what was going on with this woman. You know, because she had to do a couple things before she touched his clothes and got healed. All right? But let's understand what's going on with Jesus, because skipping down with verse number 21, or skipping up to verse number 21, it says, now when Jesus had crossed over by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. So Jesus came across the lake, he got off the boat, and a bunch of people were there. All right? Now, then it says, and behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay hands on her, and she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. And that's when it started about the certain woman. So understand that Jesus was not standing at a place ministering. All right, he was a moving target. It's a whole lot easier to hit something that's still than it is a moving target. That's why you can watch movies. What do you mean, I can watch movies? Well, have you ever seen in the movies, you know, there'll be a guy and he's riding a motorcycle and he's shooting, you know, like crazy. He could never hit the guy, you know. Then sometimes you'll have, you know, like 58 guys with machine guns, you know, all shooting one guy. And no one could ever hit him because he's moving around or whatever. Now, what's interesting part about it is the one guy who's moving around, every shot he takes, he takes somebody out. Never have figured that one out either. But it's harder to hit a moving target. All right? So think about this. This woman not only had to come to Jesus, she had to find Jesus. Now, you know, we don't actually know where Jesus was whenever she decided that she was going to touch his clothes. We don't know if she woke up that morning and knew Jesus was coming through her town, or she just said, well, next time I have an opportunity. I don't know, you know, the whole story. But I do know is she had a blood disease for 12 years and said she had spent all that she had. It was not, you know, nothing better, but rather grew worse. I mean, she had gone to every doctor. You know, I mean, it makes it sound like she might have had a little bit of money, and that's why she was able, you know, to go see all these doctors. But nothing that she had tried had worked. Now, there's nothing wrong with seeing doctors, because you know what? She was doing everything that she could in the natural to be healed. You know, I take the scripture that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them. Mark 11:24. That, you know what? If you desire a well body, you'll do whatever it takes. You'll do whatever it takes. You know, including dipping 7 times in a dirty river. Or whatever it takes. I mean, you know, if the doctor says, if you'll, you know, smear cat litter on your face, you'll be well, you would do it. If you knew it worked. I mean, you know, you have to look, check on the internet, make sure somebody else did it and it worked for them. You know, or whatever. I mean, people do crazy things, you know, because they think it works or whatever. You know, you stick your head in your freezer for 48 minutes and, you know, and it'll come out. You know, that wart will freeze off on its own or whatever. That doesn't really work, okay? That was something I made up right here on the spot. Just so. Now, what will happen is, because you can't close the freezer unless you're really small, what will happen is all your ice cream will melt while the freezer door is open for 48 minutes while your face is in there getting cold. All right. It doesn't work, okay? Just want to make sure, I want to put that out there. It's not going to freeze your warts off. So don't say, well, Brother Craig said that if I have a wart, okay. But this woman had a blood disease for 12 years. Now, my grandfather had a blood disease as well. If some of you know his story, it said he had a deformed heart and a blood disease. The doctors told him, said, if your heart was normal, the blood disease alone would kill you. I mean, so what she had was fatal. Eventually, it was going to kill her. All right? Now, after you had something like this for 12 years, you're a little weak. You don't really feel like pushing through a multitude. You know, it doesn't really feel good. Now, what's interesting part about it is obviously she had heard about Jesus, or maybe she had heard Jesus minister. I'm assuming she had just heard about Jesus and hadn't heard a minister, because I'm assuming if she had heard a minister, she would already went to Jesus. So I'm assuming she had heard about Jesus, other people had been healed. But, you know, I don't know. I've read the Bible many times, and I don't know of anybody else saying to herself, if I just touch Jesus, I'll be healed. So where did her faith come from? I mean, it's amazing that this woman has, I mean, that's great faith. When she said, if I just touch his clothes, now many people would say this, well, if he just touches me, if he just lays hands on me, if he just speaks to me. But this woman said, if I just touch his clothes, I shall be whole. If I just touch his clothes, if I just reach out and touch him. I mean, you know, most people, like I said, they would be praying and asking the Lord that he would touch him or her, or he would speak to him or her, or you know, he would just come knock on their door. Most people like to be in the mailbox ministry. They want to sit at home, wait by the mailbox for something to happen. You know, but this woman said, you know what? If I just touch his clothes, I shall be healed. She said it. You know what? She didn't pray it. She didn't, you know, ask God, please let me be healed if I touch his clothes. She opened her mouth and she said it. You know, it's interesting. Mark 11 says to speak to the mountain. It doesn't say pray for the mountain. It doesn't say intercede for the mountain. It doesn't say fast for the mountain. It doesn't say give for the mountain. It says speak to it. And I believe that some people are spending too much time praying, fasting, and interceding instead of speaking. Nothing wrong with praying, fasting, and interceding for different things and different subjects. But sometimes you have to just speak to your situation. Now, the reason you can speak, and I understand the Bible does say, ask what you will, it shall be done. So really asking is praying. But, you know, yes, ask what we will, it shall be done. But we're asking what already belongs to us. I mean, you know, it's kind of different. Yeah, we are asking, but we're asking for something that we already really have. It's kind of like this. Let's pretend, this is not true life, okay? I'm going to be at the West Door, but let's pretend that everyone that came out the West Door, I gave them a $100 Walmart gift card. I'm not going to do it, so. But let's pretend. See, I used to watch Mr. Rogers when I was a kid, you know. It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Beautiful day in the neighborhood. Won't you be mine? Won't you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? I should take my shoes off and toss them around or whatever. Anyway, but we pretended, okay? So we're going to pretend. I'm going to give everybody that goes out the West Door a $100 gift card from Walmart. Now, none of you, well, I'm hoping none of you would, but none of you would take that gift card, go to Walmart, go to the customer service, and say, ma'am, I don't have any cash. Well, ma'am or sir, could be a guy. I don't have any cash, but can I use this $100 gift card here at Walmart? You wouldn't ask for permission because you would know that you have $100 to spend at Walmart. And as long as you don't spend more than $100, you know, you already have it. But see, what Jesus is saying is you already have your healing card. All you have to do is just use it. Now, many people are good at using cards. You know, that's why America has all kinds of problems with debt and everything else. We're good about using cards. I know a kid said one time I was telling them they were asking for something. We were at the mall. And I said, you know, not right now. You know, it's not a good time. You know, don't have the money right now. Skyler, my youngest one, said, well, Dad, just put it on a credit card. That way you don't have to pay for it. And that's how most Americans think, you know. You learn at a young age. But if you have a $100 gift card from Walmart, you don't have to ask anyone. You don't have to go home and pray about it. Well, Lord, I know I have this $100 at Walmart, but I'm starving. What do I need to do? Give me direction. Lead me, guide me, show me the way. No, you take the money and go buy some food. You can buy quite a bit of food at Walmart for $100. All right, and you can buy some pretty instant stuff as long as you have a microwave, you know, that you can make it pretty quick and it tastes like homemade, like your homemade SpaghettiOs. You and Chef Boyardee together, working together to create your meal. You don't have to ask to use a gift card. Now, you know, the only trouble with giving you $100 at Walmart is you have to go to Walmart to use it. I mean, if you went to Olive Garden and said, well, I want to use my Walmart gift card, they would say, we don't take that here. Well, the great thing with the healing card is you can use it wherever you are. But we don't just have healing cards. We have financial gift cards. We have whatever we need cards. We have antidepressant cards. You know, whatever you need, you've already been given. And it is funny when, you know, the Bible says this, and, you know, it says, ask what you will and it shall be done. And many people are saying, well, Lord, if it's your will. Well, the Bible didn't say that. It says, ask what you will. Didn't say ask what he wills. But we already know it's his will to heal because Jesus Christ took the stripes on his back that by his stripes you were healed. Amen. So you don't have to ask him if his will to be healed. I will tell you this, it's not his will to be sick. I know people, you know, there are certain people that, you know, that have, you know, bad, bad interpretations of the scripture. And they're walking around and say, well, brother, I'm just suffering for Jesus. No, you have bad doctrine. It's worse than bad breath. What's even worse is bad doctrine and bad breath. So, but the fact of the matter is that you have been healed. You don't have to wait. And so simply when it does say ask, what it really means is take a hold of it. And the way we take a hold of it is speak into existence, call into existence. And that's what this woman was doing when she said, if I just touch his clothes. She spoke into existence. Now what she said is she had to go out and do something. It wasn't just enough saying, if I touch his clothes, now I'm going to wait for Jesus to come by my house. She went out and did something. But, you know, I just always thought, you know, the Bible says we can have what we say. This woman, you know, understand, this is Mark chapter 5 here. She hasn't read Mark 11 yet. Hadn't even been written. So 6 chapters before Mark 11 was written, she had what she said. She said it with her mouth. She believed it in her heart, and she had what she said. And really, we didn't have to wait until Mark chapter 11 to understand those principles. We could understand in Mark chapter 5 if we would have understood that this woman said, if I just touch his clothes. Now, see, the if, because it really depended upon her. But you know what? She could have just said, when I touch his clothes. That's even more faith. But the point is we don't have to wait for Jesus to come by anywhere. He's already came. He's already died. He already rose again. And the Spirit of the living God dwells on the inside of us. All I have to do is call upon his name. Ask him. You know, but when I say ask him, see, a lot of people are saying, well, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. You know what? Speak things into existence. Now, it's okay for me to pray the prayer of agreement. I'm agreeing with you in what you're praying. But so many people, they have it all messed up. They're like, you know, in fact, I know that a lot of people, they get sick, you know, and now it's a lot easier now because you can go online and put yourself on everyone's prayer chain or whatever. Go, tell all your Facebook friends to pray for you. And I found out the only person that's not praying is you. Most people just want to sit there and they're like, they're thinking they're going to absorb everyone's prayer. If I can just absorb everyone's prayer enough. If I can just do that. No, if you can just start saying what you want. You can have what you say, but you have to say what you want to have. I know that sounds really, you know, good. You have to say what you want to have. Don't say what you don't want to have. Don't say, well, I guess I got the flu again. You say, I'm not going to have the flu. The flu's not going to have me. It's not God's will for me to have the flu. Jesus didn't come for me to have the flu. Jesus didn't take his stripes on his back for me to have the flu. Jesus came for me to have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus didn't come for me to do that. Why do I need the flu? You know, Jesus came that we might have an abundant life. And having an abundant life is not having 103 temperature. All right? That's not abundant. Abundant life is having everything you need. But that, you know, people think, well, that's everything I need. That's a financial thing. No, having everything you need, whether it's financial, healing, you know, whatever it is you need, what do you need? See, it's what you need, and that's abundant. Whatever, everything you need in your life for you to live a good life. And I've never gone to a hospital and say, man, these people are living abundantly. Praise the Lord. Because they're not. It's no fun to be in a hospital. I've been there. You know, it's not fun. All right? And what's really not fun is that, you know, you go to the hospital, you just get to sleep, and they come at 4 in the morning to take your blood. So, you know, you have to know me. I mean, I asked this nurse, I said, is there some difference at 4 in the morning? Is my blood better at 4 in the morning? Is that why you take it at 4 in the morning? The truth of the matter is they're trying to get your blood work done before the shift change. is what the truth of the matter is. I figured that out because some nurse was actually honest with me. Because I thought there were special things at 4 in the morning. As long as I have good 4 in the morning, but it's all I need. You know, of course, another thing is at 4 in the morning, you hadn't eaten, or whatever, so we hadn't eaten since dinner time and whatever dinner they had there at that hospital. Good food, yeah. Anyway. But, you know, a lot of people, they think that praying is begging. This woman wasn't begging Jesus. Said, I'm going to come and touch him. You know, and so what happened? Now here's the thing is we also, sometimes we forget about that the Gospels are still part of the Old Covenant. The New Covenant hadn't started yet. All Old Testament rules apply. All Old Testament laws apply. And any of you that have read the Old Testament laws say that if you have a blood disease, that if anyone comes near you, you're supposed to cry, unclean, unclean, so they won't come near because they don't want them to get, because they don't know if it's contagious or if it's not contagious or whatever. So, you know, you realize that it's against the law for this woman to go in the middle of a multitude. So she was breaking the law. You know, there were probably some people who knew this woman, who knew she had a blood disease, and knew that she shouldn't be out there in public. But it didn't matter if she was breaking the law, she was going to get her healing. She was going to do whatever it took. So, you know, theoretically, is when that woman went there to get in the crowd, she should have been telling everyone to get out of the way. Get away from me. I'm contagious. I have a blood disease. And really, actually, according to the rules, that even after she was made well, she really wasn't made well until she showed herself to the priest. And the priest proclaimed her that she was well. But that's what, and then she doesn't have to cry unclean, unclean, because she's been made well according to the priest. But she, you know, this woman was going to do whatever it took. It didn't matter whether she was supposed to cry unclean, unclean. I'm assuming she didn't, because if she would, she would have never got to Jesus. But this woman, with her fragile self, I mean, think about this. This woman's dying. She pulled herself out of her place of wherever she was, went to the multitude to hit a moving target. And she began to press through the people. And something else, if you know the culture, and that it comes up quite a bit here in our society, in that culture, the man is the head, the woman's not. For a woman to push a man out of the way is not good. I mean, you know, they don't treat that very kindly. But the only way to get to Jesus was to press people out of the way. There's a multitude of people. I mean, if everybody here decided we're all going to get together in the north lobby, you know, it'd be really crowded. And then we, let's say we decided we're going to get together, we're going to put everybody in this auditorium in the north lobby, and then I'm going to come through and walk through all of you. And you're not going to let me walk through. I mean, you know, it's not that easy. Now, when there's a multitude of people and they're all trying to get to Jesus, I mean, you know, okay, I got a solution. Okay, a story. I was at the Disney World parade. These people are serious about their parades. Now, I can understand the 5-year-old kids, but I can't understand the 25-year-old kids and, you know, the 40-year-old kids, and, you know, they're lined up. In fact, I mean, you know, and they were lined up early. And then they were getting mad. I mean, there was adults getting mad because kids were trying to press through to get to the front so they could see Mickey Mouse. No, I'm going to see Mickey Mouse before you see Mickey Mouse. You know, but, I mean, they were all upset. I mean, they're like, you're not getting through here. You go somewhere else. So do you not think that people were, Jesus is a whole lot more important than Mickey Mouse. All right, so you think, man, I'm front row. You're not cutting through here. You're not coming through here. Red Rover, you're not coming over. If you ever played that game, just Google it. You know, you're not coming through. And, you know, I know people sometimes make excuses why she touched the hem of his garment, you know, said there's something biblical to it. Maybe so. I don't know. But I really believe, Craig believes, that she was crawling on her hands and knees because she was going to touch his clothes. Because she said, if I just touch his clothes, I shall be healed. And she believed that. How many times do we actually believe it? How many times do we actually believe, you know, whenever we're sick in our body, whenever we pray, do we believe that we're going to get healed? Do we believe that instantly things are going to change? Or do we believe that we're going to sit there for a week? Now, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying, do you really honestly believe it? Because if you believed it, then as soon as you said it, you wouldn't say, well, now I got to get on everyone's prayer chain too. What, your prayers are not good enough? You're not good enough? You can't say it? You're saying your sayer's broken. You can't say it? You're not good enough? See, what the deal is, you don't have enough faith in your own self. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just being honest. A lot of times we don't have enough faith. But you know what? This woman had enough faith, you know, and I don't know where she got it. I don't know where she decided that if I just touch his clothes, I'm going to be healed. I mean, I don't know where it's happened before. I didn't see it happen anywhere as I've read in the Bible. But she decided it's going to happen for her. She decided that she was going to make it happen. See, not only was she going to happen, you know, it's going to happen, she was going to make sure it happens. She was going to get to Jesus with everything that she had. And you know, I'm sure she wasn't the strongest person in the world. I'm sure she didn't feel like going to the middle of a multitude and pushing people out of the way. But you know what? If it meant either her getting healed, I mean, she was probably to the point, I'm going to get healed or I'm going to die trying. You know, I found out that it's interesting, you know, in teaching healing school and stuff, when you get people, they're in a situation where they have no other choice but believe God and live. For some of them, it's easy. It's an easy choice, and they make that choice. Now, you understand, if you have something wrong with your hand, and if you never get healed of your hand, you still live, some of them not as big a deal. Well, I can live with it. Just like the woman who came one time to my grandfather's meeting. And he was having a healing service whenever he was a young minister, small service, you know, and he came forward and my grandfather asked him, it wasn't a lot of people, so she says, what do you need? She goes, ah? She says, what do you need? Ah? What do you need? I can't, and she says, I can't hear. Now, what I didn't say is she hobbled to the front with a cane. All right, so my grandfather first thought she needed healing for her legs, but then instantly her ears popped open. She was able to hear. In fact, he said he went like, you know, 10 feet away and whispered, and she could hear it. And then so she started hobbling back to her seat, and she said, he said, ma'am, do you need anything else? Huh? Anything else? No, I can get by with this. But I couldn't get by without hearing. But you know what? We're the same way sometimes. Don't just get by. Get healed. Don't just barely make it. Get blessed. See, it's your choice. You can have what you say. You can speak things into existence in your life. I mean, you know, people say, well, you know what, if this happened, it would totally change my life. Well, you know what, if you would realize how good Jesus is, it would totally change your life. If you would realize that Jesus is better than a winning lottery ticket. I mean, people go crazy. I mean, people go crazy, you know, if they won the Buy Broken Arrow contest, $10,000, that's a lot of money. But that's nothing compared to what Jesus has done for you. Nothing compared to what he's done. But this woman, I mean, she was crawling on her hands and knees. And I believe she reached out with her last breath and touched his garment. And as soon as she did, immediately, she was made well. You know, why was she made well? Because she said it with her mouth and she believed in her heart. She had what she said. Interesting part about it is as soon as she touched his garment, Jesus went and looked around and says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples, and I always said it was probably Peter who said this, "Jesus, are you crazy? Everybody's touching you. I mean, the multitudes are thronging you. What do you mean, who touched me? You know, are you crazy?" He said, "No, it wasn't a normal touch. Somebody was healed. Power went out of me." And he looked around to see who had done this, and the woman was afraid. Man, if I just got healed of a blood disease, I wouldn't be afraid. I'd be jumping up and down, shouting. You would know it was that guy. You don't have to look, and you don't have to try to find you. It's that guy that's going doing cartwheels. Ever seen a 300-pound man do cartwheels? Oh, well, I'm not going to show you. I can't do a cartwheel, actually. I took gymnastics when I was a kid, like 3 years ago. But this woman was healed. Now, what's interesting part about it is that afterwards, Jesus looked at her and he said that, "Daughter, it was your faith that made you whole. Go in peace and be healed." But he didn't say it was my power. Now, it was his power that made her whole, but it was her faith that activated the power. And I'm here to tell you today, it's still your faith that makes you whole. Now, it is the power of God, but it's your faith that activates the power of God. And what do you do? You just say it. You just believe it. You just have it. And you know, you don't worry about it. You don't have to say it. I mean, you can say it every day, but if it's interesting, people will get prayed for to be healed, and the next day they're looking for more people to pray for them. Well, what, that person didn't do a good job? No, the thing is, they didn't believe. They didn't believe in what happened before. You understand? This woman believed because she knew what happened. So that's the point. Is we're waiting for a feeling. We're waiting for a feeling. Well, if I feel something, I'll know. But the Bible says that we're not moved by what we feel. We're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what report we have. We're not moved by facts. The things that are impossible to man are possible with God. All things are possible to him that believes. Too many Christians are waiting for feelings while they're sitting around being sick. Because they think, well, you know what? I'm going to instantly feel better when hands are laid on me. So they don't think they got it until they feel it. But when Jesus said, "Speak to the mountain," the mountains move before it ever moves. The fig tree dries up when it was spoken to. See, we're waiting for it to happen to believe it. But you have to believe it before it happens. Because it's already happened by faith. It's already happened. And technically, it happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ died upon the cross. You're just using your card today. You're just using your gift card. You're just using your gift card. And the thing about it is, Jesus' gift cards never expire. And they don't charge you a $2.50 fee every year because you didn't use it. They also never get lost. I mean, you know, the worst thing you can ever have is someone give you a gift card and you go through your desk, you go through your house, you go through your kid's room in case they might have borrowed it. And you're like, "I had a $100 gift card and I can't find it anywhere." But his gift cards never get lost. You always have them. They're always there, ready, willing, and able to be used. Man, all we have to do is use it. But we have to understand that we have the power and we have the authority in the name of Jesus. That when we don't start, when we're not feeling well, we're not moved by how we feel. The Bible says, so when the symptoms come, like Brother Hagin did, when the symptoms come, then you resist the devil. Say, oh, Mr. Devil, you have no right. You have no authority. I say it all the time. You have no right. You have no authority to attack my body. In the name of Jesus, I command you to get out of my body. I command you, I command this sickness and disease to leave. My body's well. My body's healthy. I mean, many times, it was just last year, my kidneys, and I just had to, I went to the doctor just the other day, and things are even better than before, and which they were already good. In fact, I had another person who's gone through a kidney transplant that read my stuff, and he said, man, I mean, you know, he couldn't believe how good my all my kidney numbers were. He said, I'd give anything if my kidney numbers were like that. You know, and you know, it's because that every time that things didn't look good, I just spoke to it. And that's what you have to do. And he looked at me and he said, Craig, you don't understand that less than 20% of people, does that work? You know, but see, I mean, there was no, I mean, I won Noel, the Lord helped me be the 20% because I know what I know. The thing is, you know, and I get it. Sometimes it's easier whenever we have something, a big disease, than if we have the flu. Because of the flu, well, you know what, in a few days it'll all be gone anyway, so what's it matter? But what it does matter is it's no fun to be sick. I mean, what do you believe? You know, and you have to believe what you believe no matter what. Like I said, I believe the way I believe no matter what. And we the devil comes and attacks each and every one of us. And I've been very open whenever he attacks me because you know why? Because I want you to believe with me. But you know, whether you do or not, don't believe with me doesn't really matter. I know I'm healed because I have faith, you know, in my God. I even have it on my money. In God I trust. I have faith in God. And see, that's what we have to do. We have to have faith in God. We don't have to have faith in symptoms. We have faith in God. We don't have to have faith in what the doctor says. We have to have faith in God. And I understand, you know, it's important to understand what the doctors say because it's important to understand that, you know what, sometimes the doctors can keep you alive until you can get healed. I did everything the doctor says to do, but while I did it, I also believe God. You know, and continue to believe God because, you know, my doctor, you know, they will not say I'm healed. They'll say it's in remission. Well, I believe in remission and authority. We take authority and keep it in remission. You know, and I see people deal with that with cancer all the time. They'll be in remission, it comes back. Why? Because when the symptoms come back, they have to do what they did before. But you know what happens a lot of times when the symptoms come back, my grandfather said many times, he would have symptoms of his heart disease, symptoms of his blood disease. You know, symptoms would come because the devil's always trying to kill, steal, and destroy from you. But you have to understand, he has no right, he has no authority. In the name of Jesus, he has to leave. And I'm going to stop right there. Let's all stand up. If you need healing in your body, and you're ready to be healed today, I want you to come down here. But I want you to come down here expecting to be well. Expecting to be made well. Come down here, ready. Come down here like the woman with the issue of blood. Come down here and say, you know what, when hands are laid upon me, I shall be made whole. Don't come down here and say, well, I'm just going to try this out. It might work. See, that woman didn't, she had tried everything else, but she didn't just try out Jesus. She got healed. Why? Because she said, if I just touch his clothes. Amen. Healing belongs to you. One way, not the only way, but one way that Jesus heals is through laying on of hands. And this morning, that's the way he's going to heal, through the laying on of hands. I'm going to lay my hand upon your head, and the power of God will flow into your body to drive out the sickness and disease, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't want to pray. Don't worry about me saying. Don't worry about me praying. Doesn't really matter what I say, because I don't really matter. What matters is that Jesus Christ and your healing matter. It's not about me. I'm just a faucet. I'm just the pipe that he's using this morning. All right, don't think about me. Don't even give me a thought. Don't think about the ushers. Don't think about anybody else in this room. If you're down here and you're already lined up, now if you're not lined up, if the lines get too long, but if you're lined up and you're down here, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift both hands toward heaven. And I want you to think about two things and two things only. Jesus Christ and your healing. Jesus Christ and your healing. Jesus Christ and your healing. Father God, we thank you right now for these precious people. Father God, we thank you right now as we laid our hands upon them. We thank you, Father, for the healing power of God flowing into them and from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. They shall be whole. We thank you for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to start with this gentleman right here and we're going to go this way, all right? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want you that are not down here, I want you to stretch your hands out toward these people. And I want you to think about, these are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. And while you're doing that, you can be praying or you can be singing with them. If you're down here, already down here, don't be singing. I want you to be thinking about Jesus Christ and your healing. Thinking about Jesus Christ and your healing. Thank you, Father. If you're watching online right now, wherever you are, whether you're your phone, whether you're your tablet, whether you're at your computer, just reach your hand out as I begin to pray. Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for the healing power of God flowing into their bodies from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. We thank you, Father, for healing in the back. We thank you, Father, for healing this husband that's having some issues, Father. Father God, we thank you, Father, for the healing power of God flowing from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And we thank you for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. Amen. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands toward these cloths. We have a few cloths here. We have eye problems. This is for kidneys. This is tumors on the spine. And this little faith friend, this is for my stepdaughter. She's in the hospital with some kidney issues. And this is for one of my Facebook friends. His mom's having some issues and not very good. She has cancer. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for the healing power of God flowing in these cloths. We command these tumors to leave in the name of Jesus. We command these kidneys to be normal. We command this cancer to go in Jesus' name. We command these eyes to be well. We thank you, Father, for complete healing in their body from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. And we thank you, Father, that if any evil spirit be present, they have to leave in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for complete healing. We thank you, Father, for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for each and every person that's here this morning. We thank you, Father, for their lives. We thank you, Father, for the healings that have taken place this morning. But Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without coming to the saving knowledge of him. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, you've never been saved and you're here and you want to be saved, I want you to lift your hand right now. Just lift your hand right now across the auditorium. Or maybe you're here this morning, you say, Craig, I know what it is to be saved, but I've turned my back, I've went away, and this morning I want to rededicate my life to God. If anyone's here that needs healing or needs rededication, lift your hand right now. We want to pray with you. Hallelujah. I don't see any hands. Father God, we thank you right now that if anyone is here that's not saved, we thank you for sending laborers across their path. Well, there is someone over here. All right, come on down. If you need, amen, rededication, or if you need salvation, just come down here. We want to pray with you. Amen. She broke the ice. She's the first one. All right. So anybody else? You say, well, I wanted to raise my hand, but I didn't. Just come down here. The altar's open. There's no more joyous time than to be saved the first time or to come back home. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me see those books. If I said I want to give you those books, how would you get them? You reach out and take them. They're yours. All right. You know, salvation is a gift. And just like Christmas, we have gifts and we put your name on it under the tree and it will, what's your name?
Alicia.
It'll say to Alicia from mom and dad, or for my friends, it'll say to Alicia from Craig. And it's sitting there under the tree, and Christmas morning you get to open it up and that gift becomes your reality. Well, that's the same thing when it comes to salvation. Or a lot of times, you know, sometimes we get gifts and we play with them for a while. You know, I've seen kids, you know, they'll have toys and they'll play with them for a while and then they'll put them on the shelf and they won't play with them for a long time. And then all of a sudden they'll bring them back out. Well, that's rededication. You bring back out that gift that belongs to you and you start playing with it again. You start making a reality to your life again. In fact, you know, one time, actually I was an adult at this time, and I went in the attic and I found one of my gifts I had as a kid, and I think, this is pretty fun. I like playing with this thing. It was, you know, it's a little too old, but it was okay. Amen. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray with you right here, and they're going to take you to a place, and they're going to pray with you more. You already got some books. They're going to give you some more stuff. Amen. Father God, we thank you for Alicia. We thank you for her life, and we thank you, Father, for just forgiving her for her sins. We thank you, Father, for setting her free. We thank you, Father, for everything you're doing right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Can you go with Greg? Hallelujah, right there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Well, praise God. Amen. If you came down here, you know the healing power of God went into your body. Amen. You don't think it might have and say, well, I didn't get anything. No. You are healed. You have been healed. Whether you feel like it or not, you've been healed. Amen. Amen. If you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you today. We have the connection team in the aisle. They want to take you, and they want to make sure that you get a gift from us. So just go with them. Go with them, and they'll give you a special gift from us. They'll welcome you. They'll tell you about the church. And we want to ask you to come back if you're ever in this area. Amen. We have 808 people watching us online right now. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And so we don't realize sometimes how many people watch us online. And that's live online. Sometimes people tune in for a little bit and tune out. Sometimes people watch it later on. And so, you know, we have a church away from church sometimes. And you don't ever know. In fact, we have some of our alumni, they watch us all the time. Even sometimes they wake up, they have their church at 2 in the morning or whatever, because they're another time zone. Amen. Well, praise God. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock. You know, service here. If you're going to be in Oklahoma City, I'm going to be there tonight. I'm going to have a healing service there tonight in Oklahoma City. So if you want to come there and get healed again, you can. Then Wednesday night, Hour of Power. I guess I'm ministering Wednesday night again, right? So I'll be back here Wednesday night, ready to go. I can start preparing my sermon tomorrow, so I'll let you know after tomorrow. All right. Well, you know, the way we dismiss around here, we go to the door to shake your hand. Amen. They'll sing something as we go. But just understand that you've been healed. And also I want you to understand, if the symptom tries to hit you, understand that you've been healed. Understand you already have the card. Just you're going to use it. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
Our God is greater.